Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Look, we're facing global war right now. You know, I had said for how long? World War III is going to begin in Syria. What do we have today? We have headlines. Russia warns United States. U.S. fires and takes down one of the Syrian's fighter jets. Folks, this is dangerous, and this is the doctrine of the people who are, in my view anyway, and Sergeant Tim, a contributing author for the Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com, as well as his own website. We'll be talking to him about that, but he's a military analyst. If anyone knows Russia, if anyone knows the geopolitics, it is him. But here's my bottom line view. The Western intelligence agencies, elements within the Western intelligence, and I'm not talking about your average run-of-the-mill, I'm talking about the globalists embedded in the Western intelligence services, whether it's in the United States or whether it's in France or Israel or Europe, the UK. They are fulfilling a globalist agenda. That agenda includes, but is not limited to, getting us into a war with Russia and China, but specifically with Russia. And the flashpoint, in my view, is Syria. To understand Syria, you've got to understand the entirety of the Arab Spring. Arab Spring was not a spontaneous uprising. It was planned. And see, people don't understand this, and the media doesn't explain this, nor do they have any desire to explain it, because they would expose then, and therefore, the globalist agenda. So, you have to understand the Arab Spring. Because once you understand the Arab Spring, then you could put Benghazi in the proper context, and understand that Libya, we had to get rid of Libya for a number of reasons. Just as we had to get rid of Saddam, we had to get rid of Gaddafi. Similar purposes, different reasons. Don't forget, Gaddafi was cooperating with Bush and the United States, following 9/11, and bam, gone. And Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch, the yak, Clinton, and Joe doesn't like the yak. I just want to tell you, Joe doesn't like the yak comment anymore. Eric still chuckles over it, Eric the Tech, but nonetheless, the takedown of Gaddafi, to the delight of Hillary Clinton, was absolutely horrifying and sickening to anybody with a pulse and a conscience. Now, to understand Benghazi, you have to understand the Arab Spring and vice versa. And of course, Benghazi, the largest gun arms running operation out of Northern Africa by the Central Intelligence Agency and other intelligence agencies in the West, as well as Qatar, UAE, and such, all across Northern Africa. Michael Reagan did a piece on it. Remember back right after Benghazi, Michael Reagan did a piece on it, a report on it. I had some communication there. I did a lot of reporting on this, and turns out we were right, but when you look at all of the smoke and mirror stuff that went on with Congress, Trey Gowdy, the Bulldogs of Trey Gowdy and others, nothing ever became of it. And you know, that just fueled the progressives saying, well, you see, this is targeted prosecution of the Hillary camp. This is of Hillary Clinton. Well, no, this is obstruction of justice by the globalist Republicans in the Senate Intelligence Committees and the Gang of Eight and the Senate and Congress. I mean, this is the worst of the worst in my view, because they are hell-bent to get us into a war. We've been fighting a proxy war in the Middle East now since the fall of the Soviet Union. All right, we've been fighting a proxy war. It's us against the Russians. Now it looks like it's going to go hot. I've written about this, Death Race Damascus, Missiles of October, You can find my writings on HomelandSecurityUS.com or CanadaFreePress.com. It's about time he began reading them again, because we are on that road to a full-blown war. But to talk, to bring us into some clarity, or to add some clarity about this, Sergeant Tim Weldon from, well, Joe, I'm going to kick it to you. Why don't you bring him in?
Yeah, from the SGT Report, Sergeant Tim is our guest, and we got a lot of ground to cover tonight. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Doug and Joe, thank you so much for having me back on. I just want to say it's such an honor to follow Mr. House and Ms. Powell on you guys' show, and I'm absolutely honored to be back around the Hagman table, so thank you so much.
I'm sorry, you know, I misintroduced you. My goodness. What the hell is wrong with me?
It's all good.
You know, okay, I'm looking at my notes, and actually I've got, I'm not even going to make an excuse. Sean
and
from
SGD
Report.
I followed right along your lead.
Yeah, Sean, I'm sorry.
Well, this is Sergeant Weldon. I'm not with SGT Report. I'm at outlawpatriotnews.wordpress.com, or over on Twitter you can find me at @outlawpatriot.
Okay, so wait a minute. Okay, so not. Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. I didn't make that mistake, so I was right. This is Sergeant Tim, Outlaw Patriot.
Yes.
We just had the wrong graphic up. Eric. Eric the tech screwed me up.
It's all good.
Right. That's a doc.
So I was right. All right. So much for live radio and TV.
All right. Let's get right into it.
Yeah.
The shooting down of the Syrian jet by American forces. I'm just going to ask you this question, and then you can run with it if you want. Do you think this is something? Was this an order that was handed down from Trump, or was it from people on the ground? And I guess who made this decision is the question.
Well, honestly, Joe, I think that with this particular situation, I think that probably events unfolded so quickly that you can't really point to, this was a premeditated move. Now, certainly there could have been some premeditation on the part of some of the officers involved. Whenever you talk about, well, the next time that they do this, this will be our response. But I think that probably the pilot in the FA-18 Super Hornet probably didn't have time to even think necessarily about what was going on as he approached that Su-22. But I think the bigger thing at play here, this is really the convergence of a lot of different variables that have been in the works for a long time. We have a situation right now in this country where, due to mainstream media influence as well as certain people in certain political parties, our president is not able to execute his foreign policy. He's not able to reach across and meet with Putin directly, which is something that I think would have an amazing effect on the relations between our two countries. Look what it did whenever Reagan met with Gorbachev and hammered out those arms control treaties that they did, and brought Gorbachev over and showed him the United States and showed him the economic power of the United States and the capitalist system. It had an amazing effect. And when we talk about the fact that due to the non-investigation of our president, it's really handcuffing him. And I don't know that we can really solve this situation without talking to the Russians. I mean, it would be the same as if you have a problem with your neighbor. If you don't go talk to them, it's not going to work out, right?
Right. I mean, you need the communication there. You need to be able to, and that's one thing that bothered me about this story was they said they shut down that back channel of communication, or that channel of communication directly related to Syria between Russia and the U.S. But you're right. I mean, they have been, you know, at every turn, Trump is made the enemy. He wanted to repair the relationship between Russia, and the media, the deep state and everybody else is trying to pit Russia as an enemy, like the enemy of the Cold War, and put America on track to have a full-out military confrontation with Russia, one way or the other. That's what it seems like they're doing.
Well, that's the one thing that, you know, when I woke up on November 9th, the day after the election, I breathed a huge sigh of relief, and I just thank God that it seemed like we had averted war with Russia, because I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if Hillary Clinton, yakety yak, don't talk back, if she had been elected the president of the United States, we would have been at war with Russia long before now. That was her plan. That was the plan of the globalists. And I thought that we had averted it by electing Donald Trump. But there's certain, you know, I mentioned that convergence of variables. And there's things that have been in play for a long time within our military that probably a lot of people have forgotten about, that I feel like have led to this situation. You know, if you go back to some reporting in the alternative media back in 2014, there was a lot of focus on the fact that somewhere between 100 and 200 officers were purged under the Obama administration. I'm sure as it came to its end, there were probably more than that. And I've got a quote here from a retired Navy captain, Joseph John, and I'd like for the people to just listen to this quote and think about what this means as far as where our military leadership is today. He said, "I believe there are more than 137 officers who have been forced out or given bad evaluation reports so they will never make flag officer because of their failure to comply with certain views." That right there tells you that our military leadership has been pretty much given over to the commissars, the exact same people who ran the Soviet military. If you don't comply with our political and our social justice views, you will be purged or you won't make the next rank. And so what we have here, and I know that a lot of people have a hard time dealing with this, because everyone wants to respect the uniform. Everyone wants to respect the people that are out there laying their lives down for our country and for our freedom. But ladies and gentlemen, the vast majority of generals and high-level officers are no longer soldiers. They're politicians. And what we've got at the top of our military right now is a group of people who were put in place by the Obama administration, very much what is talked about when Doug and Joe and other platforms talk about the deep state. These are the guys that are running the deep state. And so you have this situation where you have the military chock full of officers who really are beholden to points of view that came from the previous administration, that I think that most people in America rejected on November the 8th. And then you look at a 14 June, just last week, an article from The Guardian titled "Donald Trump's Hands-Off Approach Gives U.S. Military Free Reign." And that's something that a lot of, or not a lot, but the last couple of presidents have been kind of blamed for, is the fact that they meddled too much in the affairs of the generals. They got their hands in there influencing what was going on. And so I understand Donald Trump wants to take a hands-off approach, but when you take a hands-off approach with a military that is led by people who literally are your ideological enemies, that they will do whatever it takes, you know, by whatever means necessary to overthrow you, then you have a situation where they're looking to have events that are going to portray you in a bad light. And I think that's exactly what has happened here. A hands-off approach in Syria is what has led to an aggressive stance by the United States in standing up for people that we don't even know that they're not radical Islamic, extremists, just like ISIS is. They could very well be the very same people that were fighting on the ground.
In your analysis, Sergeant Tim. I don't know whether you heard my introduction early on, but I contend, it is my assertion, that the Zbigniew Brzezinski, for example, given his heritage, Polish heritage, he always had a thing for Russia. He always had this hatred for Russia. And of course, when he joined at the hip, with Carter, and became Carter's national security advisor, foreign policy advisor, whatever, developed essentially the Taliban or the Mujahideen to fight the Soviet Union in order to bring them down, to mire them up in Afghanistan, the empire killer country. That policy was really an outgrowth of the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, and it's the policy continuing today with the neocon globalists, whether they're in the globalist period. We are, as you said, okay, now get this, the military being led by the color guard or the color of the flag officers, it's more of a game of politics as it is a game of, the rules of war. It's led by politicians. I guess I'm more or less repeating what you said. But I guess what I'm looking at here is, my question is, can any of this be stopped by President Trump? Can it be stopped? Because I'm looking at this thinking, I don't think so.
Well, and that's the thing that really disheartens me is, I wanted to be like a lot of other people that I have seen, on the internet, on social media, that I've interfaced with, at work. And I wanted to have complete and total faith in this administration to do what was right. And I'm not saying that Donald Trump is a bad man, but he is a man just like you and I are, and we all have our flaws. And I think that one of the things that perhaps his administration failed to consider and failed to do in those first few days in office was to look at the military. I think that they looked at it and they automatically assumed that the military was on their side because so many of the enlisted corps is on their side, and there are quite a few officers that are on their side as well. But when you look at those upper echelons, it has been filled. I mean, generals and colonels and lieutenant colonels, those guys are not appointed. They make their rank based on merit, based on their evaluation reports, just like everyone else. But certainly those reports can be made to look better or worse in order to promote the right people. And certainly the administration can force out generals and flag officers that they feel like don't play along with their game. And I think that Donald Trump would have been better suited to sit down and take a look at the generals that he had around him and make sure that he wasn't getting bad information of what is on the ground there in Syria and you know, another hot spot is North Korea, to make sure that he's getting the real scoop and not the scoop that is politically good. You know, it wasn't that long ago that the Obama administration also got in trouble for falsifying intelligence reports that portrayed the rise of ISIS in a certain light to make it look like they weren't as effective as what they were. And that type of manipulation of information can come from the intelligence community, but it can also come from the troops on the ground. And I think we see that quite a bit. You know, I remember back in the Iraq War, I thank God every day that I was not over there in combat, but I had a lot of friends that were, and I talked to them extensively about their experiences over there and what it was like on the ground. And then I would watch these generals get up on TV and talk about how rosy everything was, when in reality we had made one of the greatest mistakes any nation can make in thinking that you can go in and grow democracy in a culture that has not made the appropriate cultural steps in order to accept democracy. Because in order for democracy to flourish, in order for a democratic republic to flourish, there has to be the respect for the individual rights and life. And I'm not saying that Western culture is any better than Eastern culture or even Middle Eastern culture. But what I am saying is that there is a difference. And if you have not made those steps, you know, like Western culture did with things like the Renaissance and things like that that led to those founding principles of liberty and of respect for individual rights, then you can't have democracy. And I think, you know, that's one of the places that I actually agree with Putin whenever he talks about the development of Russia as a democratic republic. And he says, look, guys, Western democracy does not work for the Russian people. We are accepting democracy, but it's not going to look like it does in the United States, and it's not going to look like it does in France or Germany. It's going to be a Russian democracy, and that is necessary for these cultures. But I think in this situation, what we're seeing, and I have to tell you guys, and I don't mean to scare anyone in your audience, I don't mean to scare you guys, but I will tell you that I am very worried about this situation. I've been working in the intelligence community, and I've been working with Russia for 20 plus years, and this is the first time in my career where I have been worried about something that has happened in as far as it actually leading to war. You know, the Russians came out today and they said that anything that's flying west of the Euphrates River, they will consider to be a target, whether it's U.S. or alliance, you know, coalition aircraft. And what do you guys think would happen? What do you think Trump would do if a Russian MiG or a Russian aircraft shot down an American airplane, you know, an American fighter jet? What do you think would happen, Doug?
Great question. I do believe. I'd like to. Maybe it's wishful thinking. I'd like to think that he would get on the red phone or whatever color it might be and say, "Hey, Vlad, what the heck?" Or maybe get on to his own people and ask the generals who are commanding this war, "What the heck? What are you doing?"
Right.
I don't know. That's what I like to think.
Well, and it seems like the media has created a situation where he can't even do that. You know, they pick apart everyone within his cabinet if they have any contact whatsoever with the Russians. And Russia is not our friend, but I firmly believe that nations don't have friends. They have alliances for a time. And a lot of good in this world could become of the United States and Russia working together, especially in the Middle East and in taking on ISIS. I think a lot of good could be accomplished with Russia and the United States coming together and using a combined front to counter China. you know, we don't get a lot of news here in the West about China and what's going on there, but they're far worse than what Russia is. And yet these people that are in our mainstream media and many of our politicians, and I honestly think that they're already on the take by the Chinese, but they want you to think of China as our friend and our trading partner, and that it's good to cozy up to China. I think a lot of that comes from the Clinton cabal and the fact that Bill Clinton pretty much sold the United States out to China with his various trade deals, as well as handing them the multiple reentry vehicle technology for nuclear weapons.
Charlie Tree. Outlaw Patriot News, Sergeant Tim from Outlaw Patriot News. Follow him on Twitter, twitter.com, Outlaw Patriot, Sergeant Tim Weldon. Sergeant Tim, can we keep you on for...
through the next segment?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All right, good.
Yeah, we got a lot more to get into.
Man.
Outlaw Patriot News is the website. Sergeant Tim is the guest. He'll be with us for... till the end of the show, one more segment.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into, continue to talk about the U.S.-Russia relations. We're also going to get into a story that has we haven't had a chance to talk about that's being underreported in the news, the USS Fitzgerald and the seven dead American sailors who died in that mysterious crash. We'll be right back with Sergeant Tim after this break. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Post in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Army's kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Army's kit at www.changepersonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Hagman and the Hagman Report. Folks, I have a favor to ask. We have a favor to ask each and every one of you. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Okay? Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Very simply go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link to our YouTube channel, and subscribe. Also subscribe to our network feed, our Twitter accounts, our Facebook accounts. This raises our visibility. It makes it a little bit more difficult for dismissal, and it spreads the word. Also, I want to thank each and every one of you for your support. Thank you, because we are outpacing our supply lines. I've got to tell you, we're doing a lot of investigative work in the field, and it's really been it's a commitment. It's a major commitment, and I think you've seen John Robertson's been working his tail off, and I think you can see the end result here. We've got such quality guests like Sergeant Tim, a contributing author, in addition to having Outlaw Patriot News, contributing author to the Hagman Report as well. His expertise invaluable, especially in times like this. Trading Post in the Woods, folks. TradingPostInTheWoods.com. What a great outfit. They've got some fantastic products. These are the products you're going to need when things go south. You're going to want to have these in your pantry, in your area of, in your shelter. When a doctor is not available, a dentist, or you need specific remedies for very specific things, this is what you need. In fact, they created the American Heritage Remedies Kit Deluxe Package just for the Hagman and Hagman Report, folks. Trading Post in the Woods, contact them. If you have any questions about the products, call them. Have some dialogue with them. They're extremely, extremely helpful. That's TradingPostInTheWoods.com. Sergeant Tim, before we go any further, let me ask, if I can lighten this up a little bit, and you feel free to say no. Okay? Okay. Can you say you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report in Russian? You did that one time before, but can you say
that? We сейчас слушаем тебя Hagman и Hagman Report.
Okay, now that's right. What this is gonna do, what you've just done, that is going to solidify our detractors that we are part of the Russian agenda. But anyway, all right.
But you know what's funny about that is I have met, they sit here and they talk about these congressmen, these cabinet members meeting with Ambassador Kislyak. I've actually sat in the same room and interpreted for the head of the GRU. And I can assure you that I am not a Russian agent.
I no doubt you are a true American patriot, and we thank you for that. The opening question, and then I'm going to kick it to Joe. Here's my opening question. How can the progressive communists in our government, in our media, these morons in the media, how, given the landscape, the geopolitical landscape, and the antagonism between Russia and the United States, how can they justify saying that we are compromised, or Donald Trump was, or how can they even put President Donald Trump and on the same side with the Russians, given the scenario that we're seeing today? And then, that's my question.
Well, don't you think it's funny, Doug, how all these years, you guys, Alex Jones, I've even been called it in team rooms and on various teams I've been on, but we've all been called conspiracy theorists, because we believed in, looking at the facts, doing analysis, and coming to our own conclusions. Yet what we're seeing play out right now in the mainstream media within the Democratic Party is nothing more than conspiracy theory. It is them looking for something to discredit this administration and to discredit those who support this administration. I know that for the people out there that have read some of my writing, I've been really hard on the Trump administration of late. But as someone that supports him, I believe that I have to be hard on him on the things that I see that I don't agree with. but that doesn't in any way lessen my support for the man and his plans for this country. And I believe that we're already seeing it unfold in the economic policy, in his foreign trips abroad, where he was received very well. I would say much better than Obama, even though the mainstream media propped Obama up. But I think the reason why they're going so hard on this is, number one, they don't have anything else to go hard on. And number two, they realize that if they wait until the economy is back on track and things do start to improve for the middle class, then they'll have nothing. They'll lose the entire game in their mind. And I find it hilarious, the conspiracy theory, and the fact that there's so many people out there, you know, they only get their news from the mainstream media. They only read the headlines of news articles. They don't read any deeper. And so they believe what the mainstream media is telling them. And they are the ones that are becoming conspiracy theorists, but they're the same ones who sit there and yell at you. It's kind of like the whole Antifa thing. You know, they sit there and yell Nazi, Nazi, Nazi at the Trump supporters, yet they're the ones who are acting like Nazis, like the brown shirts, trying to shut everyone down. But I just find it, you know, funny that the table is turned. The alternative media is rising. You know, I wrote a piece, I think it was back in January, called, you know, stating that 2017 was the year that the alternative media was going to take over the mainstream media. And this is exactly what we're seeing. You know, I know, not only is John bringing home great shows for you guys, but I see a lot of the work that is going on behind the scenes. And I see it in the shows that you guys are producing. And this format has come a long way over the time that I've been listening to it. I've been listening to it for 3 or 4 years. I actually credit this show with bringing me back to the Lord and back to Christianity in a time when, this was the only thing that I had to show me back down that path. And in saying that, and I know that you guys sometimes get embarrassed when people do this, but I would just ask everyone that is listening to this show, you know, if you can spare a dollar to give to the show, you don't know how far that will go towards, not just keeping the show on the air, but improving the show. And this is a heck of a format. It's one that gives not just guys like Steve Quell, who have been doing it for, what, 30 years, not just guys like that a format, but they bring guys like me on who, you know, I've done a few podcasts here and there, but I'm really nobody. And I can't be more thankful to you, Doug and Joe, and I can't be any more pleased with the way that the show is going. I just thank you guys again for having me on.
Well, absolutely, Tim, and we thank you for being a part of the show, and thank the Lord that it was the show, you know, that put you back on the path that you wanted to be on, and that's always a blessing to hear that, even despite us and what we do here sometimes. But no, and that's one thing that's great about the show, and many of our listeners have been listening for a while, and it's almost like a family atmosphere, and you know, without the Lord, we wouldn't be here doing this right now. And you know, that's all thanks to Him. And John has been doing a great job of, you know, kind of reformatting and changing some things around that have made for, you know, a much better show with the breakdown of the schedule and with adding a whole number of more guests. And that all obviously brings, you know, that some extra flavor to the show. And, you know, we so appreciate everybody who, works, you know, on the front lines and behind the scenes to make this happen, and we appreciate the kind words. We have about 20 minutes left, 20 some minutes left, Tim. I want to make sure we cover this before we go. Something that we've only heard mentions of in the media this past weekend: the USS Fitzgerald, the ship that was struck in I believe it was, what, the waters of Japan? And
yes,
it was hit by a oh goodness, a big commercial shipping vessel that was much bigger mm-hmm. than the ship. How can this happen? One of the only people I heard in the last 3 days give this any real consideration was Michael Savage. He was asking some questions today that I believe should have been asked by the media days ago when this first happened. How can one of the most advanced, the Navy, the most advanced technological sea arsenal in the world, with the most advanced sonar and detection capabilities, not only that, but you know, you have people who are supposed to be watching for these things to happen. How does this happen? Can we see an accident like this happen, or do you believe there's something more to it? I've even heard speculation that it could have been China possibly testing their abilities to disable the ship's technologies and infrastructure because they're angry about the U.S.'s agreeing to go into the Philippines, where ISIS has taken over after they were told to stay away from there by the Philippine president. So it could be anywhere from an accident to sabotage by another country. What's your take on this?
That's, you know, it's, can accidents like that happen? Yes, absolutely. But, I read an interesting article earlier. I think it was from the Washington Post, of all places, speaking of conspiracy theorists. But I read an article about what happened there on the Fitzgerald. And number one, before I go any further, I just want to say, you know, to the listeners, to please keep the families of those seven sailors in your thoughts and prayers, no matter what you might think of the administration or certain policies. Those sailors were there doing their duty, and their politics are not something that need to be talked about at this time. So just keep the families in your thoughts and prayers. But one of the things that did jump out at me about this, so the container ship that ran into them, and these are those types of container ships where, you know, they'll have hundreds of those giant containers that, if you've ever been down on the docks in a port city, you see them unloaded off these ships. They're huge, huge ships. So how you could miss it, I don't know. But this report said that so it happened in the Sea of Japan. It said that the container ship was a Filipino-flagged vessel, and that all 20 of the crew members were also Filipino nationals. If you know very much about the shipping industry, you know that not all the time is the crew of a ship. If for instance, if a container ship is flagged out of Liberia, that doesn't mean that the ship is actually Liberian. It could be from any port. It just means that the company who has provided that flag is out of Liberia. So it was Filipino flagged, 20 Filipino nationals on board, and the reason why that jumped out at me is because we have this ongoing battle right now in the Philippines of elements of ISIS trying to take over certain parts of it. And they said that this ship, according to the onboard navigation computer, that it had suddenly made a turn into the Fitzgerald. And so I started to wonder, and they said that Japan was also conducting an investigation as far as professional negligence on the part of the container ship. But it immediately made me wonder if these may not be elements of ISIS, and maybe this was some kind of attack. I mean, we've seen gunships run up alongside our ships off the Horn of Africa and attack them. What's to say if they got a hold of a container ship that they wouldn't use it as a weapon as well?
Yeah. A lot of questions, and there seems to be an absence of answers. And then, as you pointed out, the conflicting reports on the times of when this happened.
Right.
That's kind of weird. And we have the commercial ships maneuvers that they made. I'm trying to pull up this report here. Here it is. That has all the details in it that I was reading earlier. But yeah, there's a lot of unanswered questions here, and the Navy's obviously, you know, keeping it hush hush, not saying much.
Right, they're always going to keep something like that hush hush, particularly if it is a terrorist attack, because they don't want to show how it can happen again.
Yeah, and the one interesting thing about this report from, this is from the AP, this was on Drudge earlier, it talks about, you know, 130, or roughly 130, the commercial ship made a sharp turn. They say it's trying to avoid something. It could very well be it was turning into the ship, and then right. It made this U-turn, and then there's a discrepancy between the Japanese reporting and the U.S. Coast Guard reporting by an hour. And you know, you have that connection with the Philippines and ISIS in the Philippines. Do you think we'd ever, if this was some kind of attack, we would ever hear about it and then they would ever admit that?
I don't know. I think that if it was for sure, if they actually came out and said in the media that it was a terrorist attack, then definitely there would be some kind of strike within the Philippines, whether, the president there chose to accept it or not. But if they can keep it hush hush, I'm sure they will keep it hush hush. My own personal opinion is, you know, there's too much unknown there to say one way or the other. I just hope that we do get some for sure information out and that it is the truth. A lot of times with stuff like this, they like to paint the event a certain way that isn't necessarily the truth. It's the alternative truth.
Okay. Well, you know, I guess we're going to have to keep paying attention to what's going on with that, and hopefully the truth does come out. All right, let's switch gears here, Tim.
Uh-huh.
You found something interesting with the, and many people don't know this, I found out after the fact. I don't know. It's not highly publicized. I guess NBC is doing a terrible job of promoting, you know, their $15 million a year Megyn Kelly. But she interviewed not only Alex Jones that aired this last Sunday, but 2 weeks before that, she interviewed Vladimir Putin. I'm not sure how many people saw that interview or even were aware that Putin was interviewed on one of the major news networks. But I found it to be much more interesting than the Jones interview. You found a mistranslation that the media was passing off as the accurate translation. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, yeah, and first of all, I just want to say, you know, there was an interpreter that was interpreting what Putin was saying, and what he was saying in Russian was far more brutal than what they translated into English, but the Russian language is a far more brutal language. That's to be expected. One of the things I saw after she interviewed him at the Economic Forum, she went backstage and she sat down for a one-on-one with him. And this is, in my opinion, this is no fault of the interpreter. It would be very difficult to translate this because it's not just verbal communication, it's nonverbal as well, and that's one of the things that working as an interpreter, you just cannot communicate those nonverbals. That's something that has to be viewed. But she asked him, you know, she asked him a whole series of questions, and whenever it came towards the end of it, she asked him about how, you know, she said that many Americans, whenever they hear the name Vladimir Putin, they automatically think of the repression in the Russian Federation and how, you know, journalists can be killed just for covering the administration too closely or being critical of the administration. And she asked him what he would say to those Americans if he had the opportunity to, or something like that. And he went on for a few minutes, but the thing that really struck me was towards the end of what he was saying, he was looking down as he was talking, like a lot of us will do whenever you're thinking about what you're going to say. And as he said this final line, he looked up at the camera, and I think it was the camera was over Megan's shoulder, but looked up at her. And as he said it, he had a sly little smile. So he knew exactly what he was saying, and he knew that there was no way that anyone other than a pretty darn good Russian speaker would ever be able to catch this. But he said something along the lines, you know, he finished it up with, «Это наш месседж». Well, in Russian, they have the concept of PR, like we do. In Russian, it's actually one word, but it has a slightly different connotation than it does for us. You know, we think of it as public relations, both good and bad. For the Russian, PR is more like image management, making sure that nothing harms your image, making sure that... you know, if there's any kind of controversy, that you get it swept up in short order. And the word message, because it is also an English word and it is directly from that kind of sphere of work, whenever he said «Это наш месседж», what he was saying there was that is our kind of like our company line. So he realized that he wasn't being completely honest. And I'll be honest with you, as someone that I'm not by any means a Putin fanboy, I disagree with a lot of the things that he does, but I understand why he does what he does. And I do believe for the most part, definitely he wants to get his out of what he's doing. But for the most part, he does look after the well-being of the Russians. And if you don't believe that, look at the economy in 1999 in Russia whenever he took over, and look at it today. He's done an amazing job of improving the life of the Russians. And he's done an amazing job rebuilding that military that was in shambles after the breakup of the Soviet Union. But it gave me chills because it was the first time I really realized that some of the things that people are saying about him might be true. Just all in that look and that one single word, it made me realize that he's not being completely honest whenever he gives these interviews. And that struck me as out of character for him, because he usually does not... he straight up looked like a Bond villain whenever he did that. And that's not something that he usually will let slip. I mean, he's a very controlled person, worked for the KGB. He knows what he's doing whenever he makes a slip up like that. And so I found that to be really interesting.
Okay. Was there any other points in the interview that you saw that are worth mentioning?
I've seen a couple of interviews with Putin of late. One, I believe it was with CBS, and I can't believe that CBS News would not have a better interpreter, because he was in the tunnel going out to a hockey game. He was all suited up for hockey, and he was going to go out and, I guess, take a shot in front of the crowd there. And they caught him in the tunnel as he was getting ready to go out, and they asked him about Donald Trump's firing of James Comey. It was right around the time that happened. And number one, he laughed and he said, "I don't know why you guys are insist on asking me these questions, like I have anything to do with this." But then he said, "Я думаю, что он был в полном компетенции, когда он это сделал," which means I believe that he was within his full authority whenever he did this. And the interpreter there, Instead of saying competencia, you know, instead of translating that as authority, he translated it as competence, which absolutely doesn't make any sense in English. And I just thought that it showed how our media, when covering Russia has absolutely no understanding of what they're covering, who they're covering, the culture, the language, nothing. And that's a shame, especially if they want to portray them as our enemy. They should try to understand them a little bit more. But I think if they understood them a little bit more, they would realize that we have more in common with the Russians than we do with the Chinese, and definitely a lot more than we do with ISIS.
And there it is. I think you just brought that. You brought the entire. I mean, you just tied everything together. I think with that comment, mm-hmm. that assessment. Very interesting.
Well, Tim, we are at the end of the broadcast. I want to thank you for coming on this evening. It was an interesting hour.
Joe, I want to ask him, how close are we, if we continue on this trajectory that we're on right now, and forgive me for asking this at the very last moment here, how close are we to a shooting war here?
Like I said when we started, this is the most worried that I have been in my career. Definitely for listeners of the Hagman and Hagman Report, if you have been one of these people who thought that, you know, since Trump was elected, I can stop with my preparations, I can stop keeping my eyes open for what's going on in the world, this should be a wake-up call that you need to get started prepping again, and that you need to keep an eye on what's going on, because in my estimation, and this is merely my opinion, we're probably closer to war right now than we've been in my lifetime. And I definitely think that in the coming weeks, there's going to be events that are going to happen. Some of them may not even be reported in the press. There's going to be events that are going to happen that are going to take us even closer to war.
That's frightening. Thank you so much. Outlaw Patriot News is the website. Sergeant Tim is the guest. I want to thank you again so much for joining us, Sergeant Tim. It was an hour with a completely different perspective, which we love around here. And thank you so much for spending the time on the show tonight.
Well, hey, thank you guys so much. God bless you. God bless your families. And God bless all the listeners out there.
And God bless you, too.
Yeah, and thank you for everything you do. Outlaw Patriot News. Follow him on Twitter. Read his articles on his website and his contributions as well on Hagman Report. We thank him for that. He's a very talented, knowledgeable man. That's for sure.
Absolutely. We only have about a few seconds left. I want to bring your attention to HagmanReport.com. I just posted a story up there that's pretty interesting, and I haven't seen it anywhere else today. Hillary Clinton told FBI's Mueller to deliver uranium from the deal that she struck with the uranium and the Russians in 2009 with a secret plane side tarmac meeting where she was tasking Mueller with delivering the 10-gram, the sample, the 10-gram sample. Anyway, it's the top story on HagmanReport.com.
Here, hold this.
Yeah. And we will be back tomorrow. We got a great week of shows lined up for you, some very interesting guests, some new guests, and we will see those tomorrow. And until then, stay safe, God bless, and have a great evening.